If truth were everywhere to be shown, a scarlet letter would blaze forth on many a bosom. Does that sentence ring a bell? In high school English class, I remember having to read Nathaniel Hawthorne's book, The Scarlet Letter. Hawthorne's Scarlet Letter is about a woman in colonial America named Hester Prynne, and her husband had sent her ahead to settle in America, and while he is away, she becomes pregnant and gives birth to a daughter. As a result, the townsfolk of her community shun her and her daughter and force Hester to wear a badge of shame upon the breast of her gown, a large scarlet letter A, indicating to all she is guilty of adultery. Hi, I am Pastor Joel of Heart City Church, and we have come to James chapter 4, the heart of his letter, where the apostle is going to tell us that he agrees with that line of Hawthorne's. Our fighting, our selfish behaviors, and our prayer lives reveal we are guilty of spiritual adultery. God looks down from heaven, and he sees many of our lives are emblazoned with scarlet letter A's. James writes, "What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions." Friends, what is it that causes us to bicker and to strike out at others? No, my friend, it is not all those idiots out there. James narrows the suspect list down to you and I. These crimes are inside jobs. They start in our hearts. We have these inner desires that seek to take control. There is a war going on inside us. And James says it's also seen in your prayer life. Do you struggle to stop and pray? Or do you pray and find that God doesn't answer your prayers? Well, James says that this is because your desires are centered on you and not on what God wants for you. You see, our godless desires cause us to fall in the ditch in one of two ways. We either don't pray, because it would be ridiculous to tell God what we really want. We know he'd never approve. Or we do start spilling our hearts. And when that signal reaches heaven's antenna, God tells the angel Gabriel to change the radio dial because Joel is spewing all that nonsense again. Now brace yourselves for what James says next. He says all our fighting, selfishness, and prayer lives reveal we are two-timers with big A's on our chest. James says, "You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." Please don't turn off this devotional. My friend, you need to hear the bad news, because there is hope, but only if we're willing to own up to the problem. That's why James wrote this letter. God has provided a solution. My friend, when you become a Christian and you profess your commitment to God and you get baptized, it's like a wedding. Your baptism is like a wedding ring, a sign that says, "God, I am yours and you are mine." And that means we're to live lives devoted to the one we made vows with. But what happens? Well, our passion fades and some of those old desires come back, those things we used to say and do. Worldly things begin to pull us away from our Lord Jesus, who died for us to set us free from them. And we again make friends with the world, a world in rebellion against its creator. John says in 1 John 2, 15-17, "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world." You hear those terms John uses? Lust, pride. When we return to the old ways, the old habits, instead of humbling ourselves and praying that God will help us to see him as our true treasure, we're engaging in what is rightly called adultery. You are an adulterer. And I hope that word stings your conscience. It ought to. Because adultery may not end the marriage, but it sure screws things up royally. Some of us know that all too well. My friends, we cannot walk into church Sunday and expect to experience intimacy with our God when he knows that instead of preparing ourselves on Saturday night for our daytime with him, we've been out late. All Saturday we've been just fooling around. Let's be honest. We too often step through the church doors as a walking contradiction, partly truth and partly fiction, as Christofferson noted. But here's the good news, my friend. God is jealous to have you back. James writes in verse 5, "Or do you suppose it is to no purpose that the Scripture says, 'He yearns jealously over the Spirit that He has made to dwell in us, but He gives more grace.'" God is a jealous God, my friend, and He yearns. Do you know what it means to yearn? It's to have a groaning inside that cannot be satisfied, an intense feeling of longing for something, something or someone that has been lost, or who you've been separated from. That is the good news, my friend, the jealous grace of Jesus Christ. And if you will simply turn back to your first love, repent of your two-timing, and ask Him to give you greater and lasting desire for Him, your first love is going to smile and say, "Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool." Isaiah 1:18. And He'll wrap you up in His loving arms. My friend, don't run to lovers. That will never satisfy your soul. Turn back to the lover of your soul and find grace greater than all your sin. Remember who you are and who you belong to.